state land management into one section separated from local jurisdiction land management. Each time a political subdivision comes into the legislature and asks for appropriate changes to their responsibilities, they change state processes as well and complicate it further. And we do the same to them as we try to change our statutes. Those two statutes need badly to be separated. These other issues that we've inserted, we don't believe they constitute major policy changes, but I do want you to clearly understand that there are about three or four practices that would be different under this bill than under current practice, and that is specifically we would review all long-term leases over 5 years. We would review all terminal leases except in the categories enumerated, such as higher ed, forest lands, fish and wildlife, and we would move to a uniform appraisal process. I think those are essentially the new practices that we would follow with this bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Why do we want to give up legislative review over the sale of land, other than in the air drop down?
Purely the volume of land sales that could potentially be involved. It is not a big issue with us. The legislature has not been keenly interested in this in the past, except in the Salem area. But as I say, it's not a major issue.
What land sales have we reviewed outside of the Salem area, except for that that's on the committee for sale of state lands?
Columbia Park is the
Columbia
only one
Park
that I know of.
The other one, isn't it?
Yeah, quite frankly, there's a lot of land activity going on that I doubt is going to the emergency board as required by the existing statutes.
Well, the hundreds of pieces that are bought and sold back and forth by the highway division, I don't think anybody
is this been. Actually, that's what I was going to ask. Is this actually being followed? No, it's not.
Only two spots. I know that the Salem land we have reviewed, but then that's
Columbia Park we reviewed. It was
and
a
that
major
we reviewed,
political.
But the Salem land is land that we have purchased many times for our own expansion.
But this is not being followed now, is it?
I don't think I could say it's being followed now, no.
You've been here for how many years? How many have you seen?
What is the grandfather of our delegation have to report on this?
Codifies existing breaches, right?
Well, I can understand transactions, Mr. Chairman, such as, certain land sales or these trade sales that they have and highways, but all lands outside of there takes in a rather broad paintbrush. I could think of several areas that we've had controversy arise, and I'll bet you they came to legislative review when you had controversy of the first magnitude.
I believe the highway right-of-way lands are probably already exempted by another statute, so I wouldn't want to mislead you there.
And I would think that there's an awful lot of land that we do not review. Well, I'm going to say we do review by the budget process, and that the sale of the land usually means that you're putting up another building. So if you had in Medford a workman's comp building or something, you were going to build a new one, that they would sell the old one, and that the only. But I don't think it comes to the legislature except through the budget process that we want to sell this to use this money to help put up the new one.
The legislature would always see the transaction from the standpoint of a sale, revenue, and before any expenditures would be authorized.
This, spend it.
That's right. This deals specifically with the land sale itself. And as I say, if you want to delete that whole area, that I would not want to have that hang this bill up. It's not that critical.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, can I one additional question?
Yes, go ahead.
And what's your rationale for reviewing just the long-term leases versus the short-term, just administrative, from an administrative standpoint?
No. Our concern is that a long-term lease could, by action of a single agency, place the land outside of the reach of state government, some other state agency, or the legislature for some public purpose. Let's say agency X saw no need for 99 years for a piece of property to be used by their agency. We don't think that's sufficient question or sufficient justification to allow that 99-year lease to occur. We think there first ought to be a survey of other public needs by state agencies, and then and only then, if that were not no further need by public agencies were identified, then the 99-year lease would be perfectly appropriate.
I'm asking the question in reverse. Why not the smaller term leases, one, two, okay. three, 4 year?
I think it was our feeling, it was not so much the volume, it was our feeling that a short-term lease would not do that much damage if they did lease it to somebody who was not a public agency. That was principally our concern. We were looking at the long-term lease that would be beyond legislative reach and the governor's reach.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You, excuse me, go ahead,
Senator. Hi, Red. Is that really because of the volume or and uniqueness of property, or is it because of pressure?
Well, there was certainly no pressure on us in drafting the bill. The bill we drafted, and then we gave it out to everybody else, and we gave it out to them in the form that you see it. I think there are three reasons. One, the volume. Two, the uniqueness of the properties that they hold, which are not all that transferable to all other government activities. And thirdly, they have a very aggressive property management program in higher ed, and frankly, I'm not sure, other than a general coordinating mechanism, mm-hmm. that we can add anything that they don't have right now. Frankly, their operation is as big as ours, if not a little bigger.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're exempt from anything anyway.
Yeah, nobody should take a second look at that.
They have an aggressive program for acquiring residences for the chancellor.
Well, the president, Chancellor's cook.
And one up on the Heights for the president of the last year, 2 years ago, we bought that big home up on top of
that. Huh? Yeah. You'll never get over that. It's my constituent.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I haven't gotten over the chancellor's home, let alone some of those other residents.
But it's just, it's volume and uniqueness primarily. And plus, you feel they have a good property management program. It sort of boils down to it.
Well, and their staff, they're well staffed, or well, I shouldn't say that. They are staffed to deal with the questions that concern them. We are not, and I'm just not sure that we can add anything to what they do now.
Is that true of any other agencies? I mean, you present a good, you know, good side of this bill, but are we in any way adding a duplicative step here that we really don't need?
We've tried to stay away from those agencies that do have some kind of real aggressive or active management. For instance, the forest lands. You know, forestry does is on top of that, and we can't do anything to help them. Same thing with Division of State Lands, Fish and Wildlife lands. I think that which we're concerned about are the lands that are held for office use or maintenance facilities. And by and large, you'll find those in medium size agencies who do not have a property management program. Somebody's doing it out of their hip pocket as a sideline, and we're not really going to take that over from them because they have to make the first conscious decision that, well, we don't need this property, but we don't think they ought to rush off and do something hastily without taking into account what the rest of state government's needs might be. So bear in mind, this would not take active property management away from Agency X until they decide we don't need it, we're going to lease it out for 80 years, or we're going to sell it off. Then we, in essence, would like a crack at it for the benefit of these other agencies before they do that.
Mm-hmm. Further questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
the question's over?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to move the amendments as they've submitted to us on Senate Bill 134, ask the chairman to have the bill engrossed and legislative council check these amendments and give us time to study the thing for at least one time.
Fine. I'm going to tentatively accept it because we have a couple of other people who want
to. Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. I thought.
No, that's all right. No, because we will still come back to it. Daryl, is there any more you want to add?
Sure. Ask one more question for me.
Yes.
Eastern Oregon, I don't see that reference here. It says repeals provision for lease of state lands near Eastern Oregon Hospital and Training Center and near Columbia Park. Why is Eastern Oregon Hospital in there?
My name is Jean DeFond. There is a provision in current statute which references the department's capacity to lease land that is near that Eastern Oregon State Hospital. And the land has never been leased. It was to the Pendleton Indian Village, some group that it never was leased to them. The provision was never carried out. It's simply an obscure reference that we're proposing to eliminate from the statute.
So who would have a authority to lease that? Who owns that land now?
It's land that is under the control of the Mental Health Division. If they were to surplus it, it would become public land subject to the management of the Department of General Services.
Under current statute?
Under current statute.
What if they don't declare it surplus?
Then they would continue to manage it.
And what's being done with that land now?
As I understand it, it's still under the control of Mental Health Division. It was never surplus and never made available to this group, although the provision was there in the statute to allow it. It was permissive.
And you would have that authority in any case if they declare it surplus?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I should have introduced Jean earlier. She's the brains behind this operation, and if a lightning bolt were to strike her tonight, we'd have to forget about passing this bill.
You know, Mr. Chairman, I've got to say this because Daryl has worked so hard. It's really a pleasure to watch you. I've served Senator Powell here because he's worked in several areas to try to streamline the department. And just, I really mean it. You can see a lot of hard work going in here, and not just on this bill, but a whole series that you've tried to do to streamline your department. I think your whole group should be complimented for as hard as you've worked. This is no easy task or a bullet of which was bitten in one day.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator, and that is those comments really go to the staff because they're the one that did all the work. Appreciate it.
Other comments? Thank you. Bruce Boyd from the Highway Division. And then we have Jack Hunter from Higher Ed.
How are we doing in the Highway Department?
Hopefully all right.
Okay.
I am J. Bruce Boyd, right-of-way manager for the Department of Transportation. And we want to offer our support for this bill. And we wish to compliment the Department of General Services for providing the agencies with a comprehensive analysis of it. It was a complicated bill, very difficult to follow if we hadn't had their analyses. We took their analyses, both myself and our attorney went through it, offered some constructive comments, and the Department of General Services took those to heart, and I think they have an excellent bill now, and we just wish to compliment them on their activities and to support their bill.
You're very much in favor of it because you're taking up.
Pardon? No, we were never in. The most of the suggestions we had were technical in nature, and were suggestions we thought for the improvement of the bill.
All right. I would be questions. Thank you very much, then. Jack, would you like to tell us how you were so successful in getting Higher Ed out? No.
He's awesome. Higher Ed's always exempt.
Mr. Chairman, other members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jack Hundrup with the Department of Higher Education. My comments will be equally brief to Bruce Boyd's, but enthusiastic in the separation of the statutes relating to local government and state government. I think the simplification which will come through the administration of public lands will be substantial, and I would commend and second the comments which Senator Day has made about the efforts of the Department of General Services to try to bring some order out of what has been rather chaotic situation in terms of administration of many statutes. The efforts that Jean DeFond and her associates put together in organizing these statutes with reference to public lands, I think, is an excellent example of their competency. And we are enthusiastic, not because it changes the administration of the lands that we have. The statutes are really quite specific in terms of the power of the Board of Higher Education to operate its own lands. But with reference to the administration of surplus lands, with leasing, with appraisals, with all of these areas that Daryl so carefully outlined for you in his presentation, I think it's a commendable effort, and I'm very enthusiastic as I wrote to them and told them about it. Now, they gave us a chance, as they indicated, to comment upon little technical features of the bill, which we did, and in most instances, they were receptive to suggestions which we had made. But notwithstanding that point, I think overall the bill is a superior effort in bringing about a good administration of public land.
Jack, when you sell property, what do you do with the money?
To depends on the source for which the money had come. If it's a dedicated land, the receipts go back into that dedicated source. For instance,
it doesn't come before legislative review in your budget or anything.
It would if it were general fund land, yes. But in terms of the appropriations which Ways and Means and the legislature have made for land acquisition, it's explained that any proceeds from the sale of general fund lands are used toward that same purpose. But if it's dormitory housing or parking structures or things like that, any proceeds would go into that restricted or dedicated fund.
Which has no legislative control.
Yes, it does. Any land acquisition of any nature has legislative control in terms of an expenditure limitation each biennium.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If it was a one in your gifts, grants, and others, though, there wouldn't be any. That would just go back into your gifts and grants, wouldn't it?
It would go into gifts and grants, yes.
And there would be no control. Other questions? We appreciate your support, Jack.
Thank you
very much. That's the last witness we have there. Senator Day had moved that we would get this incorporated into, take the amendments and put them into a bill so that we could see it before and have legislative council look it over at the same time. By the way, did the legislative council draw the bill, the amendments, or did you draw them? You draw them. Okay, then that's
I feel a little more comfortable if we ran it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Gross it and take a look at it.
For our clerk to pass along, as well as for the sponsors of the bill, when we get the engrossed bill back, I'd like a detailed response to whether Section 12 deviates from present Oregon policy, whether Section 20 would, to any degree, modify Oregon's right to site transmission lines or otherwise control their locale, the locale of the line. And Section 24, whether Section 24 deviates from Oregon's present tax policy. Those three questions, if you could please comment on those.
I think the siting council retains jurisdiction on the transmission line question.
Your
sure.
First two words were, I think, isn't that right?
Uh-huh. And it's just as easy to find out right now.
I'm all for it if it's...
Well, you can find out. All right, if there's no objection, we'll have that done. We'll move on to the next bill we have, which is Senate Bill 127, if it's out. And
should I go ahead, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go right ahead, please.
Mr. Chairman, there are about four issues in this bill, but before I start, I'd like to point out that all of the items that we are seeking legislative authority for in this bill, we are currently doing. We're doing all of these matters. There is not explicit legislative authority for these, although there has been Ways and Means review and substantive committee reviews in the past of our activities, which have been approved. There is not explicit statutory authority for these activities. To go through them very quickly, first of all, we operate a sheltered or a workshop, a program where we purchase from sheltered workshops certain goods and services that they provide. We do that under Chapter 304, Oregon Law 1977. We have a considerable amount of activity with shelter workshops and activity centers that we think are in the public interest, and hopefully those will be able to expand in future biennium where we will be able to buy more and more goods and services from these activity centers and shelter workshops. However, the key issue is whether or not we have authority to purchase these goods and services without open competition with the private sector. Obviously, they cannot compete with the private sector. When the bill was passed in 1977, there was a sunset clause attached to the exemption from competitive bidding requirement that made all of this possible. That exemption terminates at the end of the current biennium. We would like, first of all, to have that sunset repealed by, in essence, deleting those provisions of the bill that contain the sunset clause. We cannot really tell you why the sunset was attached to that legislation, other than that was something that was in vogue at the time in 1977. But whether there was any specific intention to provide a short-term exemption, we really can't tell you. But for the program by the department to support sheltered workshops and activity centers to be successful, we're going to have a continued exemption from the open competition with the private sector. Section 2 deals with statutes regarding state surplus property. At the current time, we do transfer surplus property between state agencies and to various nonprofit organizations that are supported by contracts with state government. The statutes do not currently allow us to do not clearly allow us to transfer this surplus equipment to these organizations without competitive bid. The practice has been to transfer them to these organizations by setting a price that the state agency feels is fair, and then allowing these organizations to buy off of our warehouse floor without taking them out to an auction. However, we think the current practice should be clearly acceptable to the Legislative Assembly, and are asking you to pass a provision in this bill which would allow us to do this without first going through a public auction. If no tax-supported entity were to purchase those surplus property items, then of course they would go to the auction and be sold out there to the highest bidder, who would not be a public agency. Section 3 deals with also with state surplus property, and this has to do with transfers to local government. And again, we're asking for authority to be able to sell surplus property to local government without going through a competitive bid environment again, such as an auction. Both of these items will ensure that government property that is surplus to the state agency that owns it will be kept within government purposes, which we really think is to the taxpayers' benefit rather than having it sold off at public auction. Our first objective then
is this already, though.
We're doing this today. This is no different than what we're doing right now. Section 4 deals with our set-aside program. We currently have general statutory authority for a set-aside program where we can promote affirmative action goals to get additional purchasing directed to minority firms. However, it does not clearly, in essence, the set-aside program is one where we take small contracts and we set them aside for minority enterprises to bid on competitively among themselves, but sheltered from the private marketplace. However, it is not clear in the statute today that setting aside from private sector competition is authorized. So we are seeking a specific language that will recognize the fact that we are setting these aside from the marketplace. I would end my testimony, Mr. Chairman, with a statement that all of these items we are doing today, you may not wish to do them in the future, but lacking contrary authority, we thought it was appropriate to bring these items to the Assembly, point out what our current practice is, point out that we do not believe there is explicit authority supporting these, and make a clear decision that either we want to continue these, which is what we're proposing, and add the specific language, or pull back from these activities. And I should point out that all of these items are contained in our budget, which is being reviewed by the Ways and Means Committee.
I only want to comment on the last bill, when Senator Gardner questioned you, indicated that particular archaic apparatus, whatever it was, wasn't working and the law was being violated. Now in this bill, you have 3 pages of documentation on your violating the law, but at least you're doing it with marvelous imagination. And I support what you're doing. I want to say, however, I mean this, I shared Senator Day's enthusiasm. I don't even come out of the chute. I vote for the bill. I love what you're doing. We should be very, very careful about this practice. This is an innovative way to think. It also could be called one-upping your friendly legislature. In other words, you'll take the biennium to think of a whole raft of wonderful ideas, all of which are illicit, and then you come to the legislature and say, doesn't this look good, don't you think? And it could be that they aren't, or we don't, and there could be some problems. So I commend you for these, and I think they were worth the doing, and I mean that sincerely. But, boy, that's a dangerous precedent. I hope other agency heads aren't in the audience, or I hope they've left.
Mr. Chairman, I understand what the senator is saying, and certainly agree. These practices have grown up, those and other bills that we have brought before this committee have grown up over the last 20 or so years in general services, and our intention was frankly to have a thorough house cleaning of our statutes and bring all of the activities that we're engaged in to the assembly, get clear-cut legislative authority for what we're doing or back away from it. So I respect what Senator Halleck is saying.
You've got a whole 20 bills in this
committee. Yeah. We've noticed you've been that busy.
This is the last one, though.
I'll move it on.
All right. If there's no, well, we're going to untable it first if there's no objection. All right, it's untabled. Senator Halleck moves that we send Senate Bill 127 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Now, discussion.
Yeah. The language still on line 11 through 16 seems, 10 through 16 seems quite awkward to me. Is that the best we can do on that one?
On page one?
Yeah. Without required competitive bidding, the department may sell or transfer supplies to or between state agencies, including at its option any sheltered workshop.
Well, we wrestled with it for a long time trying to not change unintentionally some provision.
This is the existing language. All it's done is separated out those two categories.
That's right. We've separated the two categories.
We know what it means.
But you're right. It's confusing.
They didn't trip off the tongue.
You wouldn't get an A in creative writing. That's for sure.
But it's been there for years, and all we're doing is splitting them apart, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right.
And adding without competitive bid.
30 years ago, they weren't doing a very good job in high schools either. You
know? Let it stand as a monument to posterity.
We just have to write our own bills. Hell, we didn't have legislation.
Well, if there's no further discussion, then...
call for the question.
We'll... would you please call the roll, please?
Senator Day?
Yep.
Senator Gardner?
Aye.
Senator Meeker? Senator Powell? Senator Thorne? Senator Halleck?
Aye.
Senator Ripper.
Aye. Motions. We are now down to
Joint Resolution 30.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
You indicated that I don't know. I didn't miss any work session 183.
Yeah, I agreed that because you didn't have the amendments that we would not.
I might report to you and the rest of the committee. I've been meeting with some of the executive department heads and working on some solutions there, but we just aren't ready to respond quite yet. So we'll let the committee.
So we'll wait till you get them. We didn't. What was SJR 30? We didn't take that one. SJR 30.
Oh, yes.
That's a little old bill that will move out of here right over my dead body. And maybe that's the way it will move out of here. I don't know.
No use hearing this, then.
I think we're done.
I would like to state to you that we will have a special meeting on Wednesday, and I'm sorry that we can't get all of our work done on, you know, on our regular Monday
Wednesday
night.
Night?
Wednesday at 5:00, so that we can get out of here by 6 or 6:30.
Okay, I've got a meeting at 7, but I'll stay as long as I can.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We have we have bonds coming up. The city of Gresham's got some bonds coming out. There's about four different groups that have them. So we have the limitation on that bill, or the House bill that's passed. It lists the interest limitation. Good. The other one is that we would like to tie Senator Halleck's bill together with these two, which says that we would limit the total amount of spending in any given year. And I've had some amendments. I just thought I'd tell everybody. The committee does as it wants, but to speed it up, that would take some of the suggestions we had that first night we had the hearing. One was to create a board to review that, which would include the governor, the secretary of state, the state treasurer, and two others. I am hoping that it could be the two legislative leaders, speaker and president, so that everybody there would be in the political arena. We have to get that cleared with Kathleen, because somebody said it might not be constitutional, but we have other committees that set up with those people, and so anyway, we're going to try if that can do it. So that's what we're going to take up. So if you think about it, I've talked over with Senator.
Would this be an alternative to the governor's proposal, or similar to it?
Similar to it, but we have a vehicle here. Okay. We've got the both of them, and I think the one that Senator Halleck has is so simple. Mm-hmm. You just put a limitation, and then you set up this committee to govern it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't get complicated like.
Mr. Chairman.